Thank you so much. Watching that, you can't help but cry and be so proud. What a privilege it is to be the pastor. Both Carrie and I say what a privilege it is to be the pastors of this congregation. You guys are absolutely amazing. You have a heart to run after God, and we are so proud of you and all that you have done and the face you put on Jesus Christ in this community. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you again. You guys are the best. I love you tons. All right. We've been in a series. I've been trying to talk to us about how do we change the world? How do we change a culture? Actually, how do we change ourselves? How do we continue to keep moving and growing in the Lord? We talked about how by speaking the truth, by love, by trust, by forgiveness. But I've been doing this last part on the idea of by changing a heart. Our heart needs to get changed. The last time I spoke, we talked about the old covenant, the law that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. But then he said this, he wrote, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." Jeremiah 31 talks about, and Hebrews talks about that, a new covenant he was bringing to us. And then that there were, I talked last a couple weeks ago about the five elements of the new coming, new covenant. I'll put my laws, my word in their minds. I'll write them on their hearts. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. Remember that, because this is really important, that part. You shall know me. And the fifth part, it was two parts, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. Remember, we talked about how our sins are forgotten. They're forgiven and they're forgotten, and they go in the trash, and the trash man takes them out. Don't hold on to them. Nobody keeps the trash piled up in their house or keeps it in a corner somewhere. We let the trash go out, all right? Take it to the corner. Get it out of there, because Jesus Christ has taken it away from us. Let's let him do that. So let's stand and read this next part. I talked about there was a bonus element, I think, last time, and a bonus element of New Covenant. We're going to see it in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 28. Let's read it together. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave you, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." Amen. He says that many times throughout Scripture. The bonus element of the new covenant was this aspect here, that God was going to do something with our spirit. Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a contemporary with Daniel. Daniel, during the captivity, he's in the palace in Babylon. Ezekiel is more out in the countryside, the Kibar River. He's out there and he's ministering to the people. During this captivity, also another contemporary would be Jeremiah. He's staying back in the city. He's in Jerusalem. He's still there until the fall of Jerusalem. While Daniel and Ezekiel are they're in Babylon in captivity, and Ezekiel is trying to, the Lord is speaking through Ezekiel to tell the people, "Hey, listen. I know you're in captivity. You've done wrong. You're paying for it, if you will, by being in captivity. I said, hey, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. You kept doing that, doing that, doing that, offering to idols and putting me far from you." So, hey, he put him into captivity. But he said, in 70 years, you're going to come back out. But he also gave them hope. And that's what Ezekiel is talking about. He's talking about the hope that's going to come. To those in captivity in Babylon, God was giving hope for what he would do. He was going to bring a savior. Something was coming that was going to change everything. Now, it was going to be 600 years in the coming, but God had a plan. I'll tell you what, the ultimate planner is God. He plans things out, 600 years in advance right here, okay? He is the ultimate planner. He's not willy-nilly. He doesn't just, hey, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. He plans things. He's the ultimate planner. He's got a plan for you and for your life. And I don't care what you've done in your life, if you've messed it up to this point. I don't care if you're 60 and you're realizing you just came to the Lord. But right now, you are right. God has a plan for this moment forward, wherever you are in your life. Don't look back and say, oh, I messed up. I can't go on any further. I've done all these things. That's what forgiveness is so powerful. He forgives the past. He gives us a future. He gives us a plan. He's not giving up on you. He will never give up on you. So don't ever give up on yourself. Seek the Lord and follow his plan. So here's what he says. He's giving this promise to come. I will give you a new heart. Jeremiah also alluded to this new heart. And put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone, that hard thing, out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you something that's softer. He was looking forward to what Jesus Christ would do on the cross and would be fulfilled in water baptism. If you've gone through our Carpenter series, you've learned about what water baptism does. In Colossians 2, we talk about this circumcision of heart, where he takes this hard heart and makes it soft. You know, the world will harden us. When we don't know the Lord and we're walking in the world, our life, our heart gets hardened to the things of the world. But God wants it to soften it. We become hard to the world, but we become hard to everything. And we don't listen to the voice of the Lord. Instead, God wants to soften our heart. I liken it to a scab. We get kind of hardened to the world. We got a scab there, and you can push on the scab, and you don't really feel much. But if you take that scab and rip it off, that flesh now is very sensitive to everything that's touching it. And that's what God wants to do in the Spirit. He wants to pull off the hardness of our heart, that stony heart, and make it a heart of flesh, something that is soft, something that's responsive to what he says, so he can lead you, so he can guide you, so he can encourage you, so he can talk to you, and you will respond to him because your heart is soft. You know what it's like speaking to someone who's just hard-hearted? They just go on in their ways. They don't want to listen to anybody. But when your heart is soft and receptive, you're willing to take input, and God wants us to take his input and watch what it will do as he changes our life. He says, I'll put a new spirit, a new heart, a new spirit. That word new is the word kadosh, and it means a fresh, a new thing, something brand new. How many people like new things? How many of you kids out there, well, I probably shouldn't say this, but did you ever get the hand-me-downs? The hand-me-down clothes? Like if you're like number 7 out of 7 children, you get the hand-me-downs. It's like it's gone through 7 different people. You get the hand-me-downs and you're going, oh yeah, this is wonderful. I get what Bob, my brother Bob, was wearing last year. I get to wear it this year. But there's something new when you get new clothes. There's just something. How about a new car? Isn't there something about a new car? Like when you get in, the new car smell, they even make a perfume or a scent, whatever it is, that you can spray in your car that makes it new car smell. What are you wearing today? I'm wearing new car by Chevrolet. No. There's just something fresh. You get in, you go, oh, it just feels good being in here. That's what God's doing. He wants to give us something new, something fresh, something that we're excited about. And that's what God has for you. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a vision for your life. It's new. It's fresh. It's wonderful. Breathe it in and enjoy it. But we have to follow him if we want it. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's new. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Remember every day that you're new, you're new. Smell it every morning, that new car smell that Jesus wants to give you, because every morning he'll forgive you afresh. His mercies are new every morning. He is so amazing. We have a God who doesn't make you carry around all of your junk and your garbage and cause you to feel miserable and be depressed because look what you've done. He doesn't shame you. He doesn't point his finger at you. He doesn't kick you. He says, hey, I forgive you. I will change you. I have a plan for you. It's new mercies every morning. I am so thankful to God. The thing that changed my life and caused me to come to the Lord was because he was so good to me. He was willing to forgive all of my junk. And then when I messed up again, forgive it again. I love when I go to the water tower, even this morning, Lord, forgive me. And he goes, forgiven. Fresh, new, every morning. We don't have to carry our junk. We don't have to have it tied to us. And everywhere we go, we're that. Instead, he cuts it away. He makes us fresh, new, clean. Okay, the second part of this verse, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And then he says this, verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. He's prophesying this ahead. I will put my spirit in you. This is a powerful thing. The very presence of God is placed in us, he says. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit came and left in the Old Testament. It would fall upon people, then it would be gone. Fall upon people. It was on Samson, and then it wasn't, and it would come and go. And God said that he would give us his spirit, his very presence he would give to us. Wow. I mean, I will place myself in you. What other religion does that? What other religion does the God of whatever they serve or worship, whatever, say that I will place myself inside of you? I don't even understand all of that. It's almost like a what? God in us? That blows my mind. But there's some very powerful advantages to God being inside of you. I'll talk about them in a moment. The word spirit, ruach, it means wind, breath. It means when you exhale, it means life. The spirit gives us the breath of life. At creation, God breathed into man a breath and he became a living being. It gives us the breath of life, and that life sustains us and grows us. But again, that life is in us, inside of us, and grows us. In Matthew 1, 20, verses 20 through 23, this is about Joseph, since we're kind of in Christmas here. This story talks about, and I have a new take on it a little bit, so if you'll go with me here a little bit. It said, but while he thought about these things, this is Joseph, and what were the things he was thinking about? What he was thinking about was Mary coming to him and saying, hey, Joseph. Yes, Mary. I have something to tell you. Yeah. I'm pregnant. And Joseph goes, what? Can you imagine? Mary telling him that she's pregnant. Hey, I'm pregnant. What? I mean, but she goes, but this was done by God. And I'm sure Joseph said, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. God just came, showed up, and you're pregnant now. Yeah, isn't that awesome? No, that didn't. I can't. Can you imagine the confusion that's going through Joseph right now? And he loves Mary, and he decides, hey, okay, And the things that he's thinking about right now is, you know, I really love her. I don't want to disgrace her. She's lost her marbles, man, because she's thinking this thing is of God. Because this has never happened before. This just doesn't happen. I mean, when you're pregnant, there's a reason for it. And because he loved her, he said, I'm gonna try to just put her away privately. I love her, but I just can't believe that she did this to me. I can't believe she did this to me. I'm so mad, but I love her so much, I'm just gonna put her away privately. I'm not gonna make a big spectacle. I'm not gonna tell everybody. But it's off. We're done. While he thought these things, that's what he's probably thinking. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. No. That's just what she said. It's of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. I've been planning this for 4,000 years. He will save his people from their sins. Jesus saves us from our sins. Jesus cuts off the waste. Jesus cuts off the past. Jesus takes away all of the garbage. Do you understand how beautiful and wonderful that this is? He will save his people from their sins. So all this was done so it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. This was spoken in Isaiah 7:14. Another contemporary, a little earlier actually than Ezekiel, but he's prophesying this. And here's what Isaiah says. He gives a few words before this. He says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. God's gonna give you a sign saying, then we get back to Ezekiel here. What's the sign? Behold the virgin. Behold the virgin, the one who's never slept with a man. Behold the virgin. The virgin shall be with child. The one who never slept with a man will conceive, and a child will be born and will bear a son. This is going to be the sign. And I'm going, well, that's a great sign. I mean, it's never happened before. It's not even possible, is it? This isn't even possible, what you're talking about. What you're saying is going to be a sign. It can't happen, but it did. Whenever you look to God and say, but Lord, that could never happen. That could never be. Oh, don't ever tell God he can't do that. Because it can happen. Because we dwell and live with a God who is all-powerful, almighty, and the laws of nature obey him. He set them in motion. He doesn't have to obey them. He can walk on water. He can multiply bread. He can raise people from the dead. He doesn't have to obey the laws that he put out there. They have to obey him. That's the God we serve. When your circumstances are impossible and you think, no way could this happen, you have to understand you serve a God of the impossible, making the impossible possible. That was a sign. I go, well, you could have picked an easier sign, but no. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. This is the Christmas story. Emmanuel, God with us. God wasn't with us. God was with Adam and Eve, and they sinned and they fell away, and mankind went through moral decay and all of that, and God was not with us. He was there, and we were here. And we were trying to figure out how are we going to make this happen. But then all of a sudden, he says, I will be with you. This is huge. Emmanuel, it means God with us. God in the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, came to be with us, to feel what we feel, to see what we see, to sense what we sense, to understand the difficulties and all of that. God came and was one of us. How amazing. He didn't just sit up there and go, hey, do this, do that, do that. He became us. Felt what it was like to be a baby with a wet diaper. Dependent upon people to change his diaper, to give him food. He felt, he senses, he knows. He hurt, he wept, he cried. He felt the emotions that you feel, the disappointments that you feel. He felt them. God saying, I'm going to be like you. I'll be with you. I'll sense it. So when you pray to me, I know what you're feeling. I know exactly that emotion. Tempted in all ways, it says. He gets it. He understands how hard it is. He came to be with us. To be with mankind, to be with Israel, to be with the disciples, not just out there somewhere floating around. He's up there giving us orders. No. Jesus came as a baby, grew up as a man, so that when you talk to him, he knows, he feels, he has compassion on you. Wow. But it doesn't stop there. The promise in Ezekiel says, I will put my spirit in you. This is the Easter story. Emmanuel, God in us. In John 14, 16, Jesus is speaking, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you. Forever with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, the scripture says. The spirit of truth, the one who will show you and able to discern between right and wrong, between all the confusion and junk out there in the world and what they say is right and all the misconceptions and mistruth and all. And he's going to give us a spirit of truth that can cut through it all if we'll just listen to him. And he says, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Let me add, nor wants him. Because they would rather deal in spin rather than truth. Rather than saying, I'm guilty, that was me. We have a world system with the cosmic creator, the cosmos and the cosmic creator, the devil who is influencing people. Now just lie a little bit. That's not really, that's how we play politics. You lie about stuff, it doesn't count. Doesn't it? It counts for something when you see someone stand up for truth. Yeah. The world won't receive him, but you know him. And look what it says here. Jesus is saying this, for he dwells with you and will be, say it with me, in you. Do you understand how powerful that is? Do you understand the Holy Spirit is in you? God in the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit comes in you. We say, they asked Jesus into their life, and where does Jesus now live? He lives in my heart, in me. We get it from the very beginning, but we don't understand how powerful that is. It's just a word. Oh, he lives in me. He lives in my heart. Oh, that's neat. But do you understand how powerful that God is inside of you? God's in here. There's, you know, hearing on the outside, hearing the voice of the Lord out here is a lot hard. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's very hard to hear when we hear something from the outside, but God said, I'm going to come inside of you. When I get inside of you, all of a sudden, when I speak, I'm going to speak from here. I'm going to speak to your heart. I'm going to speak to your mind. I'm going to speak from this position, not for something out there, but it's going to make sense to you. Why does somebody who gives up a great job and does whatever and does something for the Lord, why? That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense when you hear out there, but if you know Jesus and he's in here, all of a sudden the things that doesn't make sense to the world makes complete sense to you. There's just something so powerful about having a Savior, having the Holy Spirit live inside and speak from this position. Because when he speaks from this position, it makes us change our life. And do things the world goes, they scratch their head and they can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense. Oh, it makes sense to me. Jesus is speaking to me. I think the more and more you go along with the Lord, the more that he speaks and the more crazy I think the world thinks we are. Why? Why don't you go after money? Why don't you go after this? Why don't you go after that? Why don't you go? I'm going after God. I'm going after God. He speaks from the inside. There's something so precious when the Lord speaks. No, don't do that. Okay. All right. When all of a sudden we have a Lord who's guiding us, speaking to us, because he's got a plan. He's got a plan for you, your life. Listen. Listen. What's he saying to you? The world will see it as foolishness. The scripture says that. It can't perceive the spirit. It only sees the natural. But God's spiritual. And what will this prophesied new spirit do for you when it's in you? Again, now this is a prophecy of what's going to happen, right? This is Ezekiel. It's going to be 600 years before Jesus comes and gets this thing going. But he says, hey, here's what's going to happen when that spirit comes in you and speaks to you from here. He said, I will put my spirit within you and, say this next word with me, cause you to walk in my statutes and you will keep my judgments and do them. Remember Old Testament? They kept breaking them left and right, left and right, left and right. Now, I'm not trying to say that we do this perfect, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But what he's saying is, I'm going to, with my spirit inside of you, I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments, and you'll do them. Instead of breaking them, you'll start obeying me. You'll start doing what I want you to do. Perfectly? No, we're not there. But all of a sudden, Old Testament, where they're busting them all over the place. Where, how do you know, you read the chapters, Israel over and over again. They how could you worship false gods? You saw the sea open up. You saw all the miracles. I mean, God blesses you. He does. He wins battles for them and all of that. And then they take their gods and set them up and worship them. My God, you just defeated them with the Lord, and now you're going to worship them? That doesn't even make sense. That's like, you know, having a professional team beat the snot out of a high school team and go, oh, I want to play for the high school team. What are you doing? He is so amazing. You want to do them. His statutes, his judgments, those are his commands. The things that God desires, his do's and don'ts, the things that give him pleasure. He says, you'll start to do them. Not break them, but you'll start changing. Your life will start changing. You'll start putting those things aside. You'll start walking a different path. You'll start saying different things as you allow me to lead, as you listen to the Spirit. I'm doing something powerful in your life. And then he says, this word cause, I like this word cause, and cause you to walk in my statutes. The word cause is the word ashah. Ashah. It means to do or make in the broadest sense and widest application, to bring forth. But the power of this word is found in that this is what the Lord said when he made ashah the heavens and the earth. When he ashahed the stars and the great lights, the sun and the moon, when he spoke them into being. When the animals came into being, asah, that's the word that he uses. He causes it to happen. He brings it into being. What was not there is now there. Something from nothing becomes something substantial. A world that's not here becomes one. A man that's not there becomes one. Even when he said, I make man, I ashah man in our image. That word is so powerful because when God says it, it is. When God says it, it is. And that's the word that he's using, right? I will cause you. I will say it and it will be. This isn't a casual, meh. This is a, I'm backing God behind this. God causes it to happen when he speaks. Jesus puts the cause in us, the desire to do his will. Jesus will cause your have to change to get to change to I want to. I in my Christian walk has gone from I have to do that to wow, I get to do that to I really want to, Lord. I want to fulfill your will. I want to bring you pleasure. I want to let go of sin. How? How does the cause happen? The cause happens. How can we do this? How can we change from have to get to want to? By the Spirit that's in us. He gave us something that's not in Old Testament. This Holy Spirit that abides, that stays, that speaks to us, that helps us. I can't do it on my own. You can't say no. You can't do it on your own. But with the Holy Spirit in you, you can. With him in there, you can. And if you fall and stumble, God says, get back up, keep going. Got a plan, got a plan, got a plan. Don't dwell in shame. Don't dwell in depression. Don't dwell in, oh, poor is me. No, get out of that. Get out of that. Get up and get going. Don't waste time on all of that. For it is God who works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. God helps us want to do what will please him because he's speaking from the inside. Then you shall dwell in the land and I will give your father, that I give your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your, what he's wanted from the beginning of time. He said, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. So we realize man messed up. Let me recap. There's creation. God creates man. There's a fall. The man goes evil. Then there's a flood. Then Abraham. Then Isaac. And then Jacob. And then they're in Egypt for 400 years. Then they come out of Egypt. And then they go to Mount Sinai. And then there's the old covenant with Moses. And then all of a sudden, man breaks them all. He can't keep them. Then they go into captivity for 70 years. Cyrus lets them out. 400 years of science. Jesus comes. Then there's the cross. And then there's the new covenant. Then he forgives us. He gives us a new heart, a new spirit. That brings us to now. But still, we live in a fallen, broken world with a devil that runs rampant, with a devil that has free access, the cosmic creator, the prince of this world, the Bible says. He's still here. So we still struggle. But that is not the end. There is more to come. There's a new heaven and a new earth without the interference of a devil, what would life be like without temptation, without a desire to want to wander away. No devil. Revelation. I want to end our session today with God's final plan. Revelation 21, verses 2 through 7. I said he's an amazing planner, and he has yet planned this, all of this for you. He understands the struggle right now, but he says, hold on, because I have something amazing planned for you. John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. For all practical purposes here, we're going to be talking about what heaven will be like for us. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is with men. I've always wanted to dwell with you. Relationship, friendship, life together. It's now. And he will dwell with them. And they, look what he says. What did God want? What does he want? They shall be my people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Oh, man. He's longed for so long. There's a devil messing everything up in this broken world. Even though we have Christ, we still have a broken world. But that world will pass away, and a new one awaits you. Verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Thou shalt be no more death. Thanatos is the Greek word, death, dying. Nor sorrow. Penthos is the Greek word. It means mourning or grief. How many times in life do you feel grief? Do you feel sorrow? Just, Lord, thank you for being there, and he helps us through it all, but you feel sorrow about something, a relationship, a problem, a difficulty, and we have a sorrow. Nor crying, no longer crying. No longer. There shall be no more pain. No more pain. All of us older people are going, yes. But physical pain is just one aspect, and maybe not the deepest. Emotional, relational, pain, or something. That word pain is panos. Panos, and it means toil or anguish. And here's the important thing about this word. No more pain, no more toil, no more anguish. If you remember the scriptures and go back to the fall, part of the curse on Adam, part of the curse on Adam was that he cursed the ground. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. All the days of your life you will have toil, which means pain. Pain. This isn't what we have here isn't heaven. But in heaven, there is no pain. Oh my gosh. The curse has been reversed. The ultimate of what was sown through their disobedience is now redeemed forever and ever. For the former things, the old things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things, say it with me, new. Kainos, new, fresh, youthful, regenerate. The word regenerate means to replace something that was lost. He makes all things new. That which was lost in the fall, he's made brand new. pertaining to that which is new or recent, and hence superior. What God has for us is so superior. Dwelling with us brings that which is superior. Then he says, and he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. God said, it is done. You know what I like about that? Jesus said on the cross what? That was part one, but there's part two of the sequel of the movie here. And I heard that part two is even better than the original. Part two is absolutely amazing. Jesus said it was finished on the cross. And God says, it's done in heaven. It's going to be awesome. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I give you the fountain of water of life freely for him who thirsts. Salvation is for anyone who is thirsty. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my, not people anymore. Something happens even there. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. It's not just people. It's individuals. My son, my daughter. I say all this to let you know God is still planning. He's still planning. He's planned great things in your life. And he knows that you struggle. Even with the Holy Spirit in us, we still struggle because we live in this broken world. But it won't last forever. We will meet him face to face. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. God will be our God, and we'll be his son and daughter. And relationship will take place. Today, God is still looking for people who he can be their God. And they be his people, son and daughter. Will you be that person? If you don't know him personally, today would be a great day to make that decision to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let him be your Lord and Savior. Let him forgive you of everything that's behind you. Let him put the Holy Spirit inside of you. And then let him open up heaven's door, a place that's beyond description. Become your home. Communion. We celebrate communion to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross at Calvary. He died for us. He paid the penalty for our sin. He did it at his birth so he could dwell with us. He went to the cross so he could be in us. Help us, encourage us. But remember what it cost for him to forgive you. What it cost for him to open up heaven's door for you. His blood and his body. His body was beaten, that's why we use the bread. His blood was poured out totally at the cross. That's why we use the juice representing his blood. Remember. Remember what he did for you. If we ever let it get old, then it becomes stale. It becomes, it becomes hard. The reason we do communion is so we can keep that relationship with Jesus fresh, new. Remember what he did. Be appreciative again that you're saved by his blood. That his body was broken for you, so yours doesn't have to be. Receive communion and remember what Jesus Christ did for you. This is the Lord's table. You don't have to be a member of this church to partake. You just have to know what it means to be saved by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ. And if you do, as you come, please don't just come willy-nilly. This is a moment to refresh. You know when your computer goes all screwy, you turn it off and turn it back on, refresh everything? Sometimes we go screwy. Communion is a time where we turn it off and we turn it back on again. Where you allow the Holy Spirit to reset us. Maybe we need to let go of some things. Maybe we need to repent, ask for forgiveness for somebody. Listen to Him. He will guide and direct. But this moment, God wants to refresh us in Him. Take this time to speak to Him, to listen to Him, and then partake at your own. We won't do it all together. Come and be refreshed by what Jesus Christ did for you. I love you guys. God bless.